Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Oh, am I bringing it in? John?
Vank?
Hey, you're actually there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hi, how's it going?
Long time.
Yeah. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it has.
What's been going on?
It's been new baby.
Oh, new baby. That would do it.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Nope, no new baby. Me, no, just rearranging the interior of my abode and removing some things from it. And just general house cleaning, busy at work, not Famicom Dojo work, obviously, because we missed a few weeks of videos as well.
Yeah, not that many. We had one 2 weeks ago, so.
Yeah.
So, not too bad, and Dojo to Go videos are pretty good, and we've got what? We've got 5 videos waiting in the wings, so.
Yeah. And 5 Dojo to Go videos that are up already. Isn't that amazing? So we got some more of those, and then plus the ones we promised that are still pending. So, I mean, they're done. Like, you know, we just got to edit them together, and you can watch them, and then we can laugh and cry and learn how to play video games together.
Laughing and crying. You know what? I think that represents a lot of today's topic.
Uh-oh, why is that?
I think today's topic is if you'll go with me on this, is finding the joy in failure.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
Oh, don't worry. This isn't a Vita topic. Oh.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Vita, how is Vita doing?
Vita, did you like the Dreamcast?
Yeah, I love the Dreamcast. Unfortunately, I didn't come to love it until after it was already declared dead.
See, well, I mean, I love the Dreamcast too, and Vita shares a lot of things with the Dreamcast. I'm not saying Sega's quality of games, and I'm saying that the Vita's selling worse than the Dreamcast.
But the Dreamcast isn't selling at all.
Well, okay, if we launch a line, it like
okay.
Like, Vita had a way bigger launch than the Dreamcast, but...
Sure.
Dreamcast had, you know, titles coming out, and, you know, it would spike at times. And a couple weeks back, the Dreamcast passed up the Vita for sales. Vita's at 40 weeks now, and at 47 weeks, the Dreamcast was about 20,000 units.
Yikes.
But the Dreamcast in Japan was a failure. It actually did better in the States. Strangely enough.
That's super strange. Okay.
Which is kind of flopped because the Saturn did horrible in the States, but I mean, it didn't set the world on fire in Japan either, but it held its own.
Sure.
But it's just it's sad the Vita is doing because, like, the Dreamcast was the system that eventually, you know, killed Sega, you know.
Yeah. I guess that whole taking a loss in the console thing didn't work out so well for them.
Actually, the Saturn is the system that killed Sega, but the Dreamcast is the system that didn't bring Sega back to life, if that makes sense.
Sure, okay.
Because Sega was already in pretty bad shape before the Dreamcast was released. It was just kind of like, that was their chance to maybe not die.
Kind of reminds me of Sony when the PS3 launched and how, like, all of Sony was basically depending on their video game division to save them.
Yeah, it's kind of still that way. Although the video game division's taken a massive lot. Sony in general's been losing money like crazy.
Yeah, if they hadn't won the whole format wars between Blu-ray and HD DVD, I don't know where they'd be right now.
Well, I mean, that they needed to win that. But... Okay, Vita's doing bad. And it's probably just because there's not enough software for it. It had such an amazing launch. You remember there were really good games. There was an Uncharted game, and you know there's all kinds of really good launch stuff. And then it just nothing came out after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Persona 4, which is a port, and that's really well. And they had the Miku, like the Project Diva game, and that's well, but like. They have these little spikes and then it just flat. Last week it sold like 7,000 units.
Whoa.
I mean, across all of Japan, like 7,000 units. And at the same time, the regular PSP, the non Vita PSP, sold 15,000.
Wow.
So I'm waiting for the press release like Sony announces successor to the Vita, the PSP. you just can't have hardware selling like that. You just, especially when the competition's doing so well. DS is selling, the 3DS on average is selling about 60,000 a week, and more when, and the holidays are coming up, so it's gonna go nuts.
Right
now the DS LL, that, you know, the chunky one, the 3DS LL, sorry,
or the XL as we call it in the States,
has outsold the Vita.
Is that surprising?
No, like it's just one revision of a hardware that was only released what, 3-4 months ago.
Sure. So they got like a launch buzz or whatever around it, right?
Although actually I think that number is not taking into account Vita's first part of a year. Like it launched in what, like November?
Something like that. In Japan anyway.
Yeah, but anyway. Pretty bad. Okay, here's where I expose kind of a weird part of my psyche.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to buy one now. I kind of really like the underdog systems.
It's like not going to be enough though, right? Like
I'll wait for a price drop, but you know.
There you go.
Or I don't know. I've seen a used one for $150. A used Vita. So I mean, already like the, you know, I think that's also Vita's big problem is a lot of people bought them and resold them, and so now if someone goes to a game store to buy a Vita, they're going to see these used models for a lot cheaper, and it's still such a new system. The used models are in mint condition,
right?
And I don't know how it is in the States. I guess used stores are, well, I guess GameStop sells used hardware, right?
Yep.
But
wait, do they? I don't know, actually. I don't really go to GameStop. I got you that copy of Xenoblade, finally, but that was about it.
What? Really?
Yeah. By the way.
Expected to actually get that.
I'd say it's in the mail, but it's not true. They had the one copy left. I haven't been in a GameStop in, I want to say years, but it might have been just months. I might have walked into one out of morbid curiosity going to the Apple store or something.
I think after the Wii U launches, that game's going to be gone.
Probably.
Because I think Nintendo says they're going to support the system after the Wii U comes out, but what's their financial incentive to do that? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And at least GameStop in particular only appeared to have the one unopened copy left. Like, I was just waiting for them to give me, like, an opened version and me to raise a stink about it, but it didn't happen because they had the one unopened copy left.
And like, I think after the Wii U launches, Nintendo's still going to print more copies of like Mario Kart Wii and stuff like that. But
stuff that's backwards compatible and would still sit on the shelves and sell well. But
well, Xenoblade sold well.
Yeah, but it's only at GameStop. Only. Like even Nintendo Online Store doesn't carry it anymore.
It's, oh really? Oh my gosh, then you...
Otherwise I would have bought it there.
Yeah, but like, it's a very limited release, but like, oh my gosh, the internet, you wouldn't think so, though, the amount of talk it gets on various gaming forums, so...
Has it? Because I haven't heard any talk about it whatsoever.
Well, maybe I just live on NeoGAF too much, but anyway.
Yeah.
I played the last story a bit. which here is not as good as Xenoblade, but it's nice.
It got a wider release, right? Like, it's actually out in regular big box stores, isn't it? Or at least on Amazon.
Packaging is fantastic. It's like this book packaging, and there's a soundtrack inside. It's really nice.
Wow.
Really, really fancy. The game itself is, it's good.
But?
Like, there's not even a but. Like, the storyline's a bit convoluted.
Ah, there we go.
The frame rate is not fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, graphics are really good. Like, some of the best I've seen on the Wii. But it, because they look so good, the frame rate took a hit. Like, they have really, nice, detailed characters. But because of it, they've got kind of the Final Fantasy X stutter, if you remember that.
No, I played Final Fantasy X long enough to get to Blitzball, and that's about where I stopped, because I just played Blitzball more than I played the actual game.
Cutscenes in Final Fantasy X, the characters all looked like they were shaking a
bit. Did they? I don't remember.
I missed it by X, too. But, I don't know. But, like, I'm really enjoying it. It's not exactly what I expected, because it's an action RPG. I was thinking that it would be more of a turn-based. But it's fun. I really, really like it. And it was really nice to play an RPG again. Because I got to say, this console generation, I've been so disappointed with RPGs. Is there a Japanese RPG that you've enjoyed this console generation?
There's not a Japanese RPG I've played this console generation.
See, so you skipped Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah. I'm not really a big Final Fantasy fan, to be honest. I didn't really play any of the ones before 7. I played 8, didn't finish it. Didn't play 9, played 10, didn't finish it. And that's all I've really played. 7, you know. I finished 7, that's it.
You never played Final Fantasy 4 or Final Fantasy 6?
I mean, a little bit.
American Gamers?
I started. I'm aware of Kefka's song, because my friend Dustin from high school was like really obsessed with video game music.
Huh. I'm trying to think if I would recommend you play them now.
No. So it's not really an issue where I played through. Sorry, I take it back. I played through a lot of 5 because I was able to get it on that PlayStation anthology.
Okay.
And I really liked that too. Like, the whole job system was really, really, really cool. And I thought that, was it 12? I want to say, like, did something really similar.
Yeah. Wait, is it 12?
So I was super curious, because it has like some of the same kind of characters that are like from Tactics, right?
Yeah.
So I heard a lot about 12, but I never picked it up, because honestly, I think the last JRPG I played and really enjoyed was Grandia 2.
Oh, Grandia 2 never got enough love.
That, I know.
Best battle system.
That's what I liked about it so much. Is I was sick of the turn based. Wait, push A. Wait. Like, I had to think of strategy. Pick your targets wisely so that you wouldn't get sandwiched between two enemies. And it was a Dreamcast game. Like, they did release it for the PS2 eventually, but I got it, American version on my Dreamcast years before anyone else got to play it.
Oh, what a great game! Did you? Maybe it wasn't a pre-order. Maybe every version came with it, but mine came with a soundtrack to it too.
Yeah, mine didn't have that. I don't think
it was pre-order. Pretty good music, and the main character was like voiced by the guy who did like Leonardo on the Turtles, right?
Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing that, and I was like, wait, is that it? No, Cam Clark, is that right?
I think so, but. To tell you the truth, I remember very little about the story of that game. I know that you were traveling with kind of like that demon woman, and then there was like Beast Man, and I don't know.
Well, see, what I liked about it was that I was so used to Final Fantasy being this huge, world-ending apocalypse thing going on, and it was really obvious kind of from the get-go. Grandia 2 starts out way less obvious. Like, it's just an escort mission, or so it seems at first. And then you're trying to take this daughter of a high priest or whatever to, like, a temple, and then you encounter these characters along the way, and then there's, like, a mystery about the world around you where there was obviously high technology in the past, damage across the entire planet, some obviously large-scale battle, and that kind of comes to bear in the story eventually, but...
Oh, man, I want to play that game again now.
It's really, really good. I got so excited for a potential sequel because there was, like, Grandia Extreme or whatever on PS2, but I heard terrible things about it and never played it. And then 3 did finally come out, and by that point, I just lost interest.
Yeah. And did you ever play the original Grandia?
I have it for PlayStation, and I started playing through it. And so I guess it is supposed to take place in the past that is sort of alluded to in Grandia 2, I think. But it was years ago, and I stopped playing it. But the battle system, when I recall, was pretty similar, right? It's just the PlayStation graphics were not as good as Dreamcast's by far.
Yeah, and well, plus the PlayStation version is a port.
Of the Saturn version,
which was the original. Then they released another, like, expanded Saturn version. So, like, but none of them ever came out in English. I think Working Designs was trying to get the rights because they had a good relationship with Game Arts, but eventually, yeah. But the voice acting was so bad. On who did that? I think it was Sony did it in house, the English translation. And they must have been like, "Hey, you janitor, come over here."
Oh, you're a yeah. I don't remember honestly. Maybe that's part of the reason I stopped. I don't know. Yeah, I still have it. I can pick it up anytime I want. I'd rather play Frequency though. Anyway,
learn Japanese well enough that I can, without a dictionary, play Grandia on my Saturn because I have a copy.
No, I have a copy too. Actually, I just never loaded it up.
And then Grandia 3, I don't know, like, Game Arts had become part of Square Enix at that point, and it looked like the Square Enix influence had kind of gone into Grandia 3. But I don't know, any listeners, is it worth playing? I can pick it up for about $10.
Right.
But to tell you the truth, and it's the same with Xenoblade, it's too late now. Now it's home, and
yeah,
like, I will have no ability to use my television for console games for, I'm guessing, a year.
Yeah,
I'm gonna finish the last story. I'll probably finish some portable games, like last time a baby came. I switched portables for about a year.
Right.
So probably I'm finally gonna beat Ghost Trick. So,
all right,
which is. It's a great game, by the way. If I haven't beat it yet, I've been playing it on and off because you play it and it's got a really good story. And I play it, I pick it up, and then for about a month I don't play it, and I pick it up again, and I'm like, what exactly was going on? So you go back a couple chapters, and then you get to exactly where you were, and then something else happened, you know.
Yeah, that's how I feel about trying to play through Mass Effect. Like, did I talk to this character yet? Ah, crap, I don't remember. And then, yeah. It takes me an hour just to walk around the ship talking to people.
Because if I didn't care about the game, I wouldn't do that. It's just like when a game's really good.
Yeah.
It's like a movie. If you've got the Brat movie on, it's on television, and you go, what did I miss? Can anybody rewind? No. You don't. Matter. It just, if you keep going, it'll be over sooner, you know?
Mm.
But watching like a really, really good movie, you know, if you miss even a second dialogue, you want to go back, you want to see. So
we've mentioned Dreamcast, other systems that didn't live past their initial release or the first year or anything like that.
Let's go to the shortest living system that anybody's ever heard of.
Okay.
Something shorter living, but someone is definitely going to write in, "Dear Doja, you have failed to mention the..." But we're going to go with the Virtual Boy.
Wow, how long was that on the market?
About 5 months.
5 months, really? It seems like longer.
In Japan. They kept it going longer in America, actually. But that's the thing. The writing was on the wall. Like, during the they let it live through the Christmas season in America, and I think it was on shelves for more than a year in America. But since Japanese companies weren't making games for it anymore, the writing was on the wall. It was done.
Right,
so
right.
Weird exclusives like Nestor's Funky Bowling and Waterworld.
Wow. Waterworld, really?
Well, just failed in every possible way, didn't it?
Well, no kidding. So, like, I remember reading Nintendo Power. I have the issues on the Virtual Boy being super excited for this and, like, being like, oh, it only shows different shades of the color red. That's okay because it's too expensive. I was so, like, tied up in Nintendo's marketing BS. Anyway, so I got it. It was pretty cool. And I thought it was weird that you had to, like, give your eyes a break every once in a while. It's like, why would they even release a product that could possibly produce eye strain? But what did I do? There was that boxing game. I don't remember what it was called. There was like Mario Clash.
Which was basically an updated version of Mario Brothers. Like the original.
Yeah.
Not Super Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers.
Yeah, just like 3D. And then Red something. Something Red.
Which, actually, I really enjoyed this game, but it was so confusing because everything was vector.
Right.
I mean, not vector, but you know.
What's it? What was it called?
Red Alert.
Red Alert. Okay. Which is funny because the game was Red.
Alarm.
Red Alarm?
Which makes less sense. But it basically played like a Star Fox, but you could go like upside. But like the levels were weird because you could go side down and there's spiraling levels and the bosses were really cool. It just it hurt your brain after a while because nothing was shaded polygons. It was just all like wireframes.
Right. I didn't know this was like a problem with like the hardware. I really couldn't handle 3D that well if it wasn't vectored. Like I don't know.
Really good, and I don't think it would have been hard to do polygons, but since there was only one color to work with, it would have looked terrible with polygons.
I mean, I think the 3DS is proving that this was just an idea ahead of its time, bogged down by like ideas of what virtual reality should be, and those two things really shouldn't have gone together.
The gem I'm going to share with you is the Wario game for the Virtual Boy.
Yeah. This is the same Wario game that has Tataka's song in it.
Yeah, that's right. And this Wario game is the most expensive title for a Virtual Boy right now that you can... Well, the most expensive mainstream title. I take that back. There's a Gundam game that sells for about $250 and a Space Invaders game that sells for about $150. There's one that's like $400 as well. But like, that's because they were never wide releases.
Right.
But this game sells for about $50, whereas most Virtual Boy games sell for around between $5 and $20. But
wow,
it's really good. This Wario game is okay. Here's the blasphemy coming, and this will get some emails. But I think it's the best Wario game, like the Wario side scroller, like better than the Game Boy Advance, better than the Game Boy ones.
Wow, that's pretty high praise.
It's just a very well made game. The 3D is gimmicky, and not really necessary to it. Like, it probably would have been better had they not put it on Virtual Boy and just put it on the Game Boy, but they obviously spent Nintendo released a number of titles for this system, but this is the one they obviously worked hard on. And another really interesting game that was Virtual Boy exclusive was Jack Brothers.
Oh.
And it featured Atlas's mascot, that weird snowman-y thing.
Huh.
Yeah, he had his own game. I think he makes cameos in some other Atlas games, but that was his game, and it was like a multi-level platformer, like because you could like drop through floors onto other platforms. It was pretty fun.
Huh.
I like the Virtual Boy a lot.
I see. I never owned one. I rented, so that's how I played those games. And I remember the system getting supremely discounted. I wasn't surprised by any means, and I was like 17 at the time, I think. So I was probably able to buy my own if I really wanted to, you know, with my own money. But I was just like, it'd be a novelty item at best. Never having played Wario, mind you. And didn't really look back. And years later, I was sort of regretted not picking up a cheap.
Like $45 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just think about that. It's like, you know, you had to be stationary to play it and stick your face in this thing on a stand, which I think was a late addition to the design, where they realized that you really couldn't walk around with that thing on your head. And then there's moving parts, you know, because it's like mirrors that actually moved to create the illusion of depth and then draw two different frames for each eye. And then we got the 3DS like 15 years later that does essentially the same thing with, you know, admittedly a huge advance in technology and in full color.
Yeah.
And it's truly portable. We really need to finish that special, don't we?
Really do. In fact, let's stop talking about Virtual Boy right now so we don't repeat ourselves during that special.
No kidding.
It's your favorite failed system.
My favorite failed system? Does the N64 count?
It definitely didn't do to Nintendo's expectations, but if we include the N64, we kind of have to include, like, I don't know, the PlayStation 3.
Okay. And,
disk system.
I mean, we're including the Dreamcast, which was, you know, a fully fledged system that didn't.
I guess. But, like, Nintendo 64, you know, had a complete life cycle and not great support, but, you know, enough.
Well, all right. How about this then? The 64DD was like my favorite system I never played and still have not to this day.
64DD had not many games, under 20, but the majority of them were good.
That makes it so much easier to collect and own everything. Not what you want to hear from a successful system. I mean, I got so incensed. I'd like write these long treatises to IGN about how stupid Nintendo was for not waiting for the 64DD to be finished so they could release it as part of the system.
You know,
how young I was.
64DD, this is one that I haven't played either, actually. I have seen one once.
Yeah, same here. Couldn't buy it. Didn't have enough money.
Exactly.
I think actually I had just bought my Duo RX, so I literally didn't have any money left.
Yeah. But, well, the Duo RX is a better system.
Yeah, but not even in question.
64DD, though, yeah, it just has. For anybody who doesn't know, this is the disk drive expansion for the Nintendo 64. Let's see. Doshin, something
giant, darn it. Or just Doshin, does that mean giant? I don't remember.
Oh. It got released on GameCube in Europe, and I don't know, did it get an American release? Maybe not.
I don't think so. All right, so, like, you know, the 64DD didn't come out in the U.S. ever. They did release that F-Zero track editor, right?
I'm
pretty sure they did.
In Japan or in America?
In Japan. No, they didn't release anything in America at all.
And they had Ura Zelda finished, but they didn't.
Right, didn't release that. And I hear people like talk about the Master Quest that they released later on GameCube being the same thing as Ura Zelda, but I keep hearing that's not actually the case. It's something separate entirely.
In Japan, where they released it, they did call it Ura Zelda.
Oh. But in name only, right?
It depends who you talk to.
Because there were supposed to be huge things like persistent changes to the world. Like, you know, they kept talking about this kind of thing. Like, if you, like, stepped on a flower or, like, made tracks in the snow, it would be there, like, months later when you loaded up the game again. Something like that.
My guess, and this is just my guess, is that Ura Zelda, whereas Nintendo claimed that it was, you know, kind of a finished product, but you know, but I don't think they ever got to the point that they were hoping to. So Master Quest might very well be what they had finished.
Plausible.
It's hard to say. Master Quest is definitely based off of it, though.
Yeah, I would think that's fair.
I mean, and if someone knows more and can correct me about this, yeah. Let's see. There was a SimCity expansion, but really, the gems on that system, I would have to say are the Mario Artist series.
Which is funny because I own that. I've owned it for almost 10 years now and have not had a 64DD to play it on.
But one of the games, the one that had animation and minigame creation, basically is a precursor to WarioWare. You can make your own little tiny minigames and share them via the internet.
Wow.
Which they did with a WarioWare on the... Am I thinking? It's DS, not 3DS, I think. The do-it-yourself something. I don't know.
DS, the WarioWare DIY. Yeah.
But the idea came back. But basically, that was originally from the Mario Artist series.
Huh.
Did I just blow your mind?
Yeah. So now I got to get a 64DD just so I can try this.
Is like a lot of failed systems or even successful systems is like the infrastructure is gone now, though. Like the 64DD was, which a lot of people don't remember or realize, was also an online system.
I forgot. I knew that at one point. And when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's one of the reasons that it's so incredibly hard to find a 64DD these days, because the games are not a dime a dozen, but I mean you can find the games, but a lot of the hardware people were getting it basically as a like how you buy a cell phone, like a payment plan, something. Sure. So the system went belly up early on. A lot of people were able to return them to the company and get some of their money back.
Oh really?
I'm not sure if it was every version of the 64DD or only some, or I'm not sure. I think you could buy it like a prepaid. I mean, like buy something up front right away. But either way, a lot of them were the same with Satellaview.
Madness, I tell you.
So whereas the games for Satellaview and stuff like that are fairly easy to find, the hardware itself is pretty rare.
Sure.
I suppose that's the reason you can't find like disc writer kiosks or, you know, all kinds of stuff, because it got returned and destroyed.
That's dang it.
Yeah.
Japan.
Basically, if there are any, again, I've never seen a disc writer, but if any do exist, technically, if someone publicized it too much, Nintendo would be able to go and claim it.
Right.
You know? So, like, until, like, the statute of limitations expires or something, if someone does have a disc writer, they're not going to make a huge deal about it.
Right.
At least, I don't know. My understanding of Japanese law is vague and probably wrong. So, it's wrong. Okay, I'll tell you my favorite then.
Go for it.
The Neo Geo Pocket, definitely, hands down.
Neo Geo Pocket. I have seen this. I have touched one. I have played one. It was pretty cool. I think it wasn't the Pocket Color, just the regular one. But
for me, the Neo Geo Pocket, I'll never be able to even think of really as a failed system, though, because It's like the Dreamcast to me. In fact, it's very like the Dreamcast. They actually could link together, yes.
Wow.
I can't blow your mind twice in a podcast, but yeah, they link together. King of Fighters 1999, Dream Match 1999 could link with the King of Fighters R1 Pocket. yeah, there was a cable that could link the systems together.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. Like, Game Boy obviously could link up. I just never saw two Neo Geo Pockets in the same place before.
No, I'm not talking about two Neo Geo Pockets linked together.
Wait, what?
I'm talking about Neo Geo Pocket linking to a Dreamcast.
Wait.
And there were a few games that SNK released for both platforms. Cool Cool Tune linked with Cool Cool Jam. The King of Fighters games linked. Even
Son of a gun.
A very widespread release, SNK versus Capcom. Or was it Capcom? Capcom versus SNK, sorry. Linked with SNK versus Capcom Pocket.
Oh.
This wasn't just a Japanese thing. The American releases as well. And they kept the functionality, and even though the Neo Geo Pocket was dead by that time.
Right.
So, yeah, way to go, Sega. Yeah. We need a portable game to help us sell more units. Let's team with SNK. Like, for me as a gamer, that made total sense. Like, these companies were like the bastions of hardcore gaming awesomeness. And the fact that they linked together was like, yes, yes, yes. But like, from a business standpoint, the investors must have been like, no, no, no.
Wow.
But anyway, I would list a couple gems for the Neo Geo Pocket, but like, it's way easier to list the bad games because there's so few.
Ah, nice.
Other than the slot machine games and some of their gambling games, there were very, very, very few bad games on the Neo Geo Pocket.
Uh-huh.
Near the end, when they were bought by Aruz, there were lots of pachinko and slot machine games that were of middling to poor quality. But like, the games produced by SNK, the two Metal Slugs, all the fighting games, the Last Blade game, the RPGs made by Sacnoth, like Fazele, just really good games. Just like Neo Geo Pocket's one of the very few systems that I can think of that you could just reach into a stack of games with your eyes closed, pull it on, you'll probably like what you're playing.
Nice.
And I mean the Dreamcast had a lot of crap. But like the stuff Sega put out for it, great stuff, you know. So those systems will always be linked in my mind for that reason, and I suppose literally. Neo Geo Pocket's still worth picking up. I'll get you. I picked up one for my brother the other week.
Well, there's something called the Neo Geo X. Is that anywhere similar? Is it going to have the same kind of experience?
Well, the thing is, like, Neo Geo X plays Neo Geo AES and MVS games.
Right.
Never meant to be portables, you right. know? I mean, I think most of them will play very well on the portable. But, like, you know, the experience, the Neo Geo Pocket Color was just about fighters.
Mm.
Shooters, you know? With the Neo Geo was an arcade system. It was meant to eat quarters, you know? But, like, the Neo Geo Pocket had a lot of different genres, lots of puzzle games, some RPGs, simulation games, you know, a wide variety of different types. Whereas the Neo Geo did the games it did very, very well, but, like, it's not representative of, like, what a portable needs to have, which is lots of variety. However, it's a Neo Geo hardware system. I think I have to buy it.
I'm sure there was like a Vita joke in there somewhere, too.
Yeah. No. That's the thing. If I went to a store and they were both sitting on the shelf, I would the same price, I would definitely buy the Neo Geo over the Vita. I don't know what that says about me exactly.
I know exactly what that says. But, moving on.
You've never have you seen an actual Neo Geo box?
I wanted to say yes, like maybe at like a trade show of some kind or one of the various conventions I go to.
NES box in Japan and the new Neo Geo Xbox. It's like the same design.
Okay.
Which is showing like the front of the top loader, you know, as a box. I don't know. It just, for me, it just, I'm like, I have a love-hate thing with the Neo Geo. Like, I'm one of the biggest SNK fans in the world, and I'm debating buying it, so I think this thing's going to bomb terribly. Because if they can't even convince me 100%, how are they going to convince anybody?
Right, right.
But anyway, I keep being like, I don't need that. I don't need that. And then and some new picture of it comes up, like, oh, I need that. And then I'm like, is everything stretched? Is it widescreen? I don't need that. Oh, look at the box. I need that. Eventually. I still want to see them talk a little more about the cartridges. But here's what would make it an insta-buy for me. Mm-hmm. If it could play Neo Geo Pocket Color games.
Right.
Totally sold. SNK, if you're listening to this, do that, and I will totally buy it.
We already know Nintendo listens, so SNK, you know, we've met Falcom.
He doesn't work there anymore.
He still has friends there. Dang it. Ruining my fantasy.
So, but I met the guy who, I met the director of King of Fighters a few years back at a Tokyo Game Show. He gave me a t-shirt.
Nice. You might get a t-shirt.
Was really great was he gave me the t-shirt and as he was giving it to me, he's like, don't wear it. I'm like, there's only 200 of these. Put it on. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Did you?
No, I didn't. I still got it. I have. Maybe I'll. Yeah. It's really rare because it was a pre-release shirt. So it had only the roster that was like currently announced and then a bunch of question marks on it.
Oh, wow.
Like 200 of them.
Maybe you should wear it in a video.
Maybe. And then who will buy it? Well, maybe it'll be worth more if it's been worn by Vink. No, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Then there's some systems that are failures and didn't have very many good games, and but there's always a few gems. Have you ever played an Atari Jaguar?
I have not played one. I thought the controllers looked ridiculous. Really a huge throwback to the pre-8-bit era.
Yeah.
Like ColecoVision and Intellivision and Vision. Stuff like that where, hey, the cool thing about video games is you can have these cards that you can put over a number pad. Isn't that cool?
Bought so many used 3D the Jaguar games and I think maybe two of them ever actually still had that card in. I think the same with the Intellivision. People just instantly lost them.
Right? So ridiculous. And of course, if you bought the CD attachment, it turns into a toilet.
Yeah, I did. But like for Wolfenstein, without that card, you have to remember, okay, 3 switches to my weapon and 4 is, you know, you gotta...
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Who's anyway?
Good.
Maybe that was Atari's way of like ensuring that they could always sell new copies of their games, is because people would lose those cards, and that would hurt the resale value. How do I play this game? Good thing there's no such large worldwide database to find this information. Oh wait.
Oh man. Jaguar. There are some really good games on Jaguar. But the pack I had with it, Cybermorph, has got to be one of the worst games ever made.
No, I never played it like I said, so.
Simply like a Star Fox clone with like an annoying nap-like voice that would be like, you crashed, and stuff. It was just really, really, the graphics were bad. Like, they were trying to show it as a 64-bit system, and there's a lot of Atari Jaguar games that actually looked really, really nice, but that wasn't one of them. It looked 16-bit, and it had, like, it was just bad. But then they had great games on it. Alien vs. Predator, wonderful. Tempest 2000, fantastic. game. I still have the soundtrack. Great soundtrack, by the way.
Nice.
Let's see. For the CD attachment, no, that was garbage. I'm trying to think of one worthwhile game for the CD attachment. I mean, they had Dragon's Lair and Space Ace, but those were not made for it. Baldi's, that was not very good.
Mm.
Myst, which is available for everything else.
Right. Even your iPhone.
I cannot think of a single CD-exclusive game. The Highlander game was absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was nothing on. But the system itself, some really good cards. Best console port of a Wolfenstein game by far.
Oh, yeah, but I had a PC. I didn't care.
Well, I think the console version looks better than the PC version.
Sacrilege. Heresy.
Much better. And more weapons, too.
More weapons. Yeah, but because you edit your own levels in DOS.
Either. Like Doom. From Doom you could, but like I think Wolfenstein, that's the thing. There's no OpenGL Wolfenstein either because it was made in a very proprietary engine. You know, you right. couldn't add or anything to it.
Right.
So, no, I think it is the best version.
Okay.
Although I'd say that the Mac version is better than the PC version.
Oh, dear. Just
the terrible thing about the ports is they for the Mac is especially during that time it came out like 3 years after the PC version, but because of it was made from the ground up and the graphics were, you know, benefited from 3 years, and they added more weapons and stuff like that to the Mac version. Of course, by the time it came out nobody cared because right. Doom was out on the PC and Doom put Wolfenstein to shame.
Right, right.
So, like, it made no impression on anybody at all. But, it probably is a better version. Speaking of the Macintosh, I have to mention the Pippin.
Oh, I was going to segue into the Lynx if we're talking about Atari.
Let's go. Pippin won't take long, I promise.
Oh no. Okay.
Pippin was the consoleized Power Mac.
Interesting.
It was basically a Macintosh computer of the like Performa era, consoleized, hooked up to a TV, was able to browse the web and stuff. You could get a keyboard for it. It had a controller, and it was fairly terrible. Because it was incredibly expensive. I think $600. You know, who would release a console at $600? Oh yes, Sony. But anyway,
oh dear.
And it had long loading times and very little exclusive support, because it had to play special Pippin versions of games, despite the fact that it had an OS, Mac OS 7.something. Built into it. It couldn't just run off-the-shelf Mac software. Maybe, I think they found a few that would work, but in general, it had some good exclusive Gundam games in Japan, and in the US it had an exclusive version of, it was like a remake of the Journeyman Project. Have you ever played Journeyman Project?
Oh man, I played all three games, assuming that there are only three games. Buried in Time was my favorite out of all of them.
That's probably the best one. Actually, I think there might be a fourth game in the series, but
anyway, I don't know. Yeah,
but it was basically a remake of the first game, and it was released originally just for Pippin, and then it was also ported to Macintosh. It never got a PC port because I think Presto Studios.
Yeah, there's like a PlayStation version or something too that came out in the States.
Like that, yeah.
Maybe it was Jaguar.
people who are big fans of Journeyman Project will pick up a Pippin just for that game. But
Maybe I should, because I am a big fan of the Journeyman Project, and I never got to play the updated version.
Dude, and if you get a Pippin, we can totally do a video about that. Okay.
Hells to the yeah.
All right, so your goal right now, I need you to get a Pippin.
Okay.
That they're not using, or can loan us. We'd love to make a video about it. We'll definitely credit. So.
Yep. Oh, goodness. All right, so Lynx time.
Lynx time. Did you have a Lynx?
I did not, but I got my hands on one, nay, two, at Midwest Gaming Classic, and I took a little video about it. Maybe I should do my own on the go about that. Although I didn't really talk about it while I had it. Well, I don't know. I should review the footage.
Good Lord. Other than the Pippin, I've owned every console. Actually, I think I might have owned every console ever made.
Oh, dear.
I still somewhere in the bowels of the base of my family's house in Wisconsin lives a Lynx and about 20 games.
So you have seen one then. They're huge. I had no idea how huge they were. Like, I'd seen pictures before. But I actually had one in my hands, and it was you could bludgeon someone to death with that thing, and say handheld for crying out loud.
I mean, Lynx 2 was still big. It was close, but like the Lynx 2 was closer in size to like a Game Gear than it was to like the Lynx 1.
If by close you mean that, like, you know, the Mantroller for the Xbox was slightly smaller than a large grizzly bear.
That was a good comic. Before, like, they took the Penny Arcade guys to an Xbox indoctrination camp. I had a Lynx 2. I don't think it was ever actually called Lynx 2, but it was like the smaller.
Right. It does look slightly nicer.
The amazing thing I had for it was an accessory that was basically just this giant brick, which could fit six D-cell batteries into it.
Yeah, think about that. D-cell. Those are huge.
It weighed like, I don't know, like 6 pounds or something. And it poured. So that was the only... Because if you actually played with the batteries built into the system, you got, you know, Game Gear-like life. You know, I think it took 4 batteries, and you'd get about, I don't know, 6 hours.
That's ridiculous.
It's the Game Boy took 4 batteries and got like 40 hours. But anyway, so this system came out, this battery, you'd like slip it in your pocket or something, and you'd feel like a tank walking around, but it was the only way to get like reasonable battery life on the thing. Some great games on that, though. Great games. Really good version of Rampart. Let's see. The Lynx had Chips Challenge. Great game there. Bikini Volleyball was not good, but it had bikinis in it.
Oh, my.
Huh. You know, a game company should really try that. Mixing, like, bikinis and volleyball into... Like a game that doesn't really play very well, but sells fairly well.
Yeah. I don't even have that on my GameCube or whatever the Dead or Alive version one is.
Yeah. Okay. It has been tried. Some very good games. Some very good games on the Lynx, though. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure could have benefited from a bad. Crystal Mines, really good game. I played that system a lot when I got the Lynx, and then I played it crazy much for like 2 years, and then I just kind of like I picked up after the Lynx was done. I got a pack for, I think it cost me $120, and it was a Lynx and 18 games.
Wow.
And I think after that, I bought a couple games standalone whenever I like saw them in like a used game shop.
Right.
That was, oh man, that was first 16-bit portable. Well, yes.
Is that before the Nomad?
Yes, far before the Nomad. Lynx came before the Game Boy.
Before the Game Boy?
or the Game Boy. It was the first. It was the first mainstream portable.
So before 1989.
I think it only beat the Game Boy by a couple of months.
Oh, okay.
It was in color.
Right.
Nintendo was like, no, we're going to do black and white. And
yeah, like I totally bought that line, like about how it has to be black and white and the cost effectiveness, and then they won't ever do color. I don't have plans for it. And I was like, okay, you know, just like how the Virtual Boy had to be red.
Exactly. Yeah. Into all of Nintendo's PR, why the Nintendo 64 wasn't a CD system, because cartridges load a lot faster.
Yeah, nonsense.
Store a tenth. Think about a Nintendo 64 if they would have used the CD, because it was much more hardware capable than the PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Oh God, I know. I mean, well, even just the 64DD. Don't even get me started on that. Like that wouldn't have been as good as the CD, but it would have been better than the cartridges at the very least. Anyway,
Nintendo made me switch, because before they were going to release the Super Famicom CD. You remember that?
Yep.
Big articles in Nintendo Power about it, and I'm like, this is the wave of the future. And I was telling all my friends, like, everything's going to be CD-ROM, and I CD worked, so I'm like, imagine this, you're making a Mario Paint thing, and the cartridge can only store one thing because the cartridge is small, but a CD, you could store thousands of Mario Paint projects. But, you know, my mind, because I was reading Nintendo Power, and it talked about how much more a CD holds than, I guess I didn't that it's read-only, but wrong. But the Nintendo Power had talked about the Seventh Guest and Cosmic Osmo and like games like that. And I was CD. Yeah. And a couple months later, Nintendo's like, CDs are poop.
Yeah. Like, unbeknownst to us, what was actually going on behind the scenes, but we'll get to that in our show at some point, our video series, that is.
Yeah. And I was hook, line, and sinker into Nintendo. All right. 3D. You ever play a 3DO?
I've played Zadnost.
Zadnost was a game made by the 3DO company, I think called Studio 3DO then. It doesn't matter what they're called because they're gone now, but
right.
It was a party game set in like a former communist empire.
And in communist Russia? Oh, I screwed that up already. Video game plays you?
I think the concept was something like all these contestants like competed to like win enough food for a year.
Yeah, it was called the People's Party.
I think the game said, this is People's Party, this is Party Game. And there was like different segments like propaganda. Where you had to like put Yankee Stooge Cinema, where they showed clips from American movies and just basically talked about how, I don't know, it was just really, really a funny game. It was mostly a full motion video game with some party games thrown in. But the atmosphere was just really, really fun. And it used four controllers for the 3DO, which was weird because 3DO had one controller port.
Right, but you can chain them.
Every single controller had a controller port built into the top of it. So yeah, you chain controllers together. It was really a weird system. 3DO had a game called Return Fire, which was like a... I guess RTS-like game, like real-time strategy, but really, really good game. 3DO had Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. No, that's not a good game. You've heard about Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
It's not like a porno, is it?
It was like trying to kind of be. It was like a PG-13 porno. I don't know. It was weird. But, like, it was just a bunch... It was basically a slideshow that you went through and had, like, a choose-your-own-adventure type thing. And it was narrated by someone whose native language could not possibly have been English.
Oh, dear. It was
like, what do you choose now? It's like, I mean, the budget on... I can't even imagine. Like, it. I think the game was made in PowerPoint or something. I don't know. It was just, or HyperCard. No, that wasn't one of the great games on the 3DO. But the 3DO had it was very RPG poor, which I remember was very disappointing to me. But they had Far Reaches, which was a port of a game from another failed system, the Laserdisc-based system, why can't I remember the name? Not LaserActive, before that. But it only had two games on the whole system. Someone's going to know this, and I'll look it up later, but a very failed system, but it got a port of that game, like, updated. Return Fire I played a lot. Really good port of Samurai Spirits, Samurai Showdown for the 3DO. But it actually was the only one that is the only home port not made by, you know, not released on an SNK system that was, like, worth playing.
Yeah, because there was the Super Famicom one, but
Genesis one even more rubbish.
I didn't even know there was one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were both released by Takara.
I got the Super Famicom one just because it was like 50 yen when I was last in Japan. So
it's probably worth almost that.
Oh.
Well, like, it's not a bad fighter. It's just like it tried to do some of the SNK features, like the scrolling and stuff, and it just doesn't look right. Or wait, it didn't try to do the scrolling. I don't remember which one. All I remember is that I was a big fan of it at the arcade, and I was so happy when it came to Super Nintendo. So I rented it, and I just remember being terribly, terribly disappointed.
Oh, dear.
But I've owned all of these systems. And for the most part, I buy them after they fail.
Yeah, like me and the Dreamcast.
Well, like, I think it's the way to do it, though. Because by that time has weeded out what games are worth buying and what games aren't. And, like, every system has a few gems that make it worth buying when you can pick it up for under $100, you know?
That's true. Doesn't do the company as much good, but it's true.
For under $5 as the WonderSwan turned out to be. Yeah, I picked up my first WonderSwan for 480 yen.
Oh, dear. That explains why they were so cheap when we were selling them at those conventions.
Yep. But the WonderSwan has a couple good games. Actually, the WonderSwan has a lot of good games, but very few of them could be played without an understanding of Japanese. Like, when Square and Nintendo were squaring off, I don't know, were kind of fighting with each other, Square wouldn't release any of its games to a Nintendo system, including the Game Boy Advance, so they moved to WonderSwan.
Mm-hmm.
Why the updated Final Fantasy ports were WonderSwan. Their game Wild Card. There's a Front Mission. I think that's right. Game, you know, and two different Chocobo games for the system. And those are all worth playing. But since WonderSwan never came outside of America, you know, outside of Japan, almost nothing for the system is playable. Without some Japanese knowledge.
Mm.
There's not many action games on the system. There's some, and they're okay. But most of them were like adventure games, RPGs, things like that.
Yeah, no, I got like a Final Fantasy for WonderSwan.
Didn't I just talk about Final Fantasy for the last like 2 minutes?
That's the only one I played. That's all I'm saying.
But do you have Final Fantasy WonderSwan?
No, I have a WonderSwan. Oh, no, I do. No, I did. Yeah, like I bought a Final Fantasy Edition WonderSwan, I think. Didn't I? No, sorry. We sold them for a while. Yeah. That's what it was. I've seen one.
Oh, the days of selling games. So many comments when I post these things on Facebook are people like, can you buy me that? And I'm like, I don't want to again.
How about you pay us and we'll give you one for the money you gave us?
but again, like WonderSwan, all of these things, like what's strange is like I don't own the Super Famicom right now. I know, I'll buy one again soon. I need to do when we do our video about it. But like, because, you know, that system I will always be able to get. But I hold on to these like weird, failed, terrible systems. And I play them a lot. And then there's the Bandai Palladia.
No.
Too much?
No. I mean, we can name stuff all day. There's the Hyperscan.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff we've shown on our show or made mention of that, yeah, we could discuss. There are probably more failed systems than good ones.
I would say so. So maybe we should just leave it to our listeners right now. How about you guys? What's your favorite failed system, and what game made owning it enjoyable for you, or what system has been so bad that you can't find a single redeeming quality of it?
Oh dear, now that CDI.
but they'd had the Z.
Hold on, Mario wasn't bad.
Then, no, except the cutscenes.
Oh dear.
But yeah, I own a CDI as well. Oh, I'm a retro gaming masochist.
Apparently. Well, if you guys want to tell us about your favorite or most hated failed console, then you can tell us on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo. It's a hopping place. You should really join our Facebook page. Or you can call us 608-492-1923 and we will play your message on the show, probably. Most likely. We've played them all so far. Probably shouldn't all tell right. people that. So, yep. Hopefully we'll be doing this again next week and many, many weeks to come without interruption for the foreseeable future. And more videos. Oh, yes, more videos.
Oh, yes, lots of videos. And again, if you want to check out our Facebook page, because it really, yeah, has been hopping lately. So tell a friend.
Tell five friends.
I don't have five friends.
Make more friends and tell them about it.
Right. Well, there's my homework. So
okay.
Week, the dojo is...
Pwned?
Yes.
Man.
Famicom Dojo.